from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Nice.
Well, they let us back in the building.
They sure did.
They let us back in the building. It's a miracle each and every day, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, everybody.
That we're able to come to you. Thanks for that warm welcome. We are glad you are here. We're broadcasting from the studios.
And we're glad we're here, too.
We're glad we're here. Every day, like I said, it's a miracle. We drive in here, and we're just awed at God that he has put us in this position.
What a privilege.
Yeah, it really
is. Do you realize that the angels themselves would consider it a privilege to announce the evangel that God gave us through the Apostle Paul?
I know.
But he doesn't commit this evangel to angels, just like he does the kingdom gospel that's coming. The Aeonian gospel, the everlasting gospel, as a version, say, in Revelation, that's committed to a messenger, an angel.
Yeah, during the tribulation.
During the tribulation period. It's not the same evangel we proclaim today.
No, that's right. We're not proclaiming, duck or die.
If the evangel in the book of Revelation concerning the Aeonian evangel or the everlasting evangel, as it's called in versions, if that's the same as Christ dying for our sins, being entombed and roused again the third day, then bread is turkey and turkey is bread.
Yeah, and Coke is Pepsi, and Fords are Chevys.
Yes, and horses are cars.
And doorstops are raisins.
So anyway, it's a privilege, though. It's a privilege to be able. God chooses sinners, irreverent sinners, who have been justified to proclaim the evangel. Why? Because only we can experience it. What a privilege.
That's right.
We stand here not because of works, that we've accomplished in righteousness, but because of what he's accomplished for us.
This is not only a propitious time to be announcing the evangel, but it's a very propitious time to be receiving it, because we're in a unique era right now where the gospel of grace is going out, and it's not always going to be this way. God does different things at different times, and he's about to pull a curtain on this present administration, and the curtain is going to be drawn very soon.
Yeah,
I'm starting to sound like a hellfire and brimstone preacher.
However, we're to live in expectation of that. And I want to point something else out. And people have accused us of me being mean on the radio.
You are mean.
But let me just say this: we're convicted of these things. That's why we take them seriously, and we love people. We're doing this of our own accord. We're not being paid a modern pastor's salary or radio announcer's salary to do this. We're doing this because we love this. We love this truth. And we don't like when this truth is maligned or misrepresented. Now imagine guys out there. Imagine if somebody misrepresented your wife, called her names, made lies about her. Wouldn't you not stand up to defend her honor? If not, you're a coward. You're a neutered man. But today, people think when it comes to teaching the scriptures, you have to be this pacifistic, nice guy. Well, we are nice guys. People who know us,
those who know
like
us, love us. No, they love us.
We are up here because we're representing the God of the universe, and we think his truth is more important than who gets elected. We think his truth is more important than whether health care bills get passed. This is more important than anything that it ever goes on in history, is truth about God and who he is and what his purposes are and what he's doing today. This is important stuff. And so sometimes we may come across to you, but we mean everything we say here. We are into this. We love this truth. And we will defend it to the death if necessary. I had a pause to say that, but we would.
Yeah.
I would give my life for this truth because it's God's truth. My apostle Paul gave his life for this truth, and I want to imitate him in that.
That's right. That's right. We're not getting any kind of gain of this other than the satisfaction of knowing that God is using us as a mouthpiece of this message. And the reason our show's different than other shows on Christian radio is you're not hearing this gospel on Christian radio. You're hearing a mixed gospel of a combination, an unholy combination of works and grace where you contribute to it. And you're hearing of a God that is very angry now, and that the human under grace is under probation.
Think about that. You just said something. The letter our friend wrote us here, mm-hmm. the covenantalist, he calls himself.
Yeah.
What he's doing is more dangerous than anything.
Why do you say that?
Because he's mixing everything together. That's killer combination.
Yeah, that's a killer combination. Paul is the one who is our... We look to him there in the book of Galatians. Paul is very upset that there were some from the circumcision, the Judaizers, who were mixing law with grace. That sounds like, oh, that's not so bad, mixing law with grace. It's deadly. And Paul pronounced an anathema on them, which is, cursed be you. And anyone who teaches a mixed evangel, you are to consider them to be accursed, because they are taking away your very life.
That's exactly right. You know, when Paul wrote Galatians, he didn't sit down and say, oh, my dear Galatians, I just want to adjust you because you made a little mistake there. Let me just help you out, and please send a $5 offering with your, and I will send you my free pamphlet this week. No. The Apostle Paul said, I'm marveling. I can't believe this. What are you guys doing? I can't believe you changed. You turned from God to this different message.
You started well. We started in pure grace.
And the Galatians can point to scriptures, too. They can go back to the commandments. And the
and
law.
There is where the quote, so-called dispensationalism comes in, that there's a sharp line of demarcation between the law and what the Apostle Paul brought. And why is it that church folks are trying to put the Ten Commandments on the walls, and they're still preaching it from the pulpit as if this is the way to God? I actually saw a church sign not long ago that said, and I've seen it in several different places, God gave 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions.
Oh my goodness.
As if this law, the 10 commandments God gave, are still a present day viable, applicable means of attaining God. To which I say, are you kidding me?
Do you believe this? You can disobey God by obeying Scripture.
You can disobey. Let me think about that.
You can disobey God
by obeying Scripture. Yeah, because there's different scriptures for different times.
That's right. How many? And again, let's go back to this guy who mixing the evangels. When's the last time he got up in a public arena among heathen?
Right? Which guy?
The guy who wrote us a letter, the one we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, we haven't read that letter yet, folks.
Okay.
And be aware, now, I'm going to whet people's appetite. Hang on to that thought, Dan. We got a letter, a kind of a nasty letter that is a classic example.
It's a mockery, too.
It's a mockery of the fact that we are simpletons here, Dan and I, but we're not simple. We simply believe the scriptures, and we see God doing different things at different times, and this man mocked that. And so what's your point then?
We're
going to read that letter after we talk about this.
Here's a challenge to this fellow.
Yeah.
You go out and stand on the street corner and yell at the top of your lungs, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Has he ever done it, you think?
I don't know.
Or tell him to repent, for the kingdom of heavens is drawn near. Not one of those is good news today.
Or tell him what Jonah...
There's no gospel
tell
there.
Him what, tell him to holler out what Jonah hollered out in Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed.
Yeah.
That was the message God gave to Jonah.
And Paul says today the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And what is the gospel? The gospel is concerning God's Son and what he's accomplished on the cross in his death, his burial, and resurrection. It's regarding his accomplishments. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin has nothing to do with the work of Jesus Christ. The passage, repent for the kingdom of heavens is at hand, has nothing to do with the cross work of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not even mentioned in those messages. So think about that. Either God's a liar or God is intelligent and he has purposes and plans and God does things in order and orderly.
In order. That's the thing. You know, I shouldn't have called us simpletons because we're not. But what I meant to say was that this message is simple. It has been tangled up in knots theology. And really, anytime what we're teaching sounds complicated, it's only because we have to untie the knots of what went before and to get all the rubbish out of the road so you can see how beautiful and clear this road is. And yes, what did you just say about God doing different the way God presents himself. What was the word you used?
He does different things, different times, and orders.
In orders.
Different orders,
right. God is very orderly. And we're going to find that what the world calls dispensationalism is actually just God giving humanity different circumstances, different situations to show their ineptness. Man needs a progressive, orderly arrangements to show in each and every step that he cannot attain to the things of God apart from God. And in each thing God does, starting in the Garden of Eden and going down to the present day, mankind has more and better opportunities to please God. God gives more gifts. He gives more, quote, tools for man to use to show that he can operate. And mankind fails. And to give you a broad overview, the purpose of all these administrations or all these dispensations is to show the futility of man by different trials, different opportunities, different situations. And when you see that as the reason, then it starts to make sense to you. God is just not arbitrarily doing different things at different times. As Dan said, it was a great word. There's an order to it. There's a reason why the Garden of Eden came before Noah and why Noah came before Abraham, why Abraham came before Moses. There are reasons for this, and why Jesus Christ came, and then why Paul came. And as we show, I'm looking at the time. We're running out of time already on this show. By the time this week's over, I swear we're going to define the term tomorrow.
Hey, we got a scriptural precedent.
We do what?
Yeah, Peter, 2 Peter,
yeah,
has two chapters of introduction before he gets into
oh,
his
fantastic.
Context. So we've had two shows of introduction.
All right, tomorrow
to this topic. So tomorrow we will get into more details.
We are going to define the term dispensation. We're going to define the term administration. Administration is an important word. Again, it's a simple word. These are simple Greek words that maybe you've never heard. You didn't realize it was in the scriptures, but it's going to help you understand this topic. We're going to review again the 12 clearly demarked administrations in God's program.
Wow, that's a big word, demark.
Demarcation. Did I say demark
or demarcation?
Did you go to a fancy
school to learn that kind
of
language?
No, the only thing I learned in high school was how to type. I can't remember what else I learned in high school.
I learned how to look at girls in high school.
Did
that's
you?
About all I got out of my public school education, to be honest
well,
with you.
Well, I learned how to type and look at girls.
I fell asleep in typing class.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now
I flunked it. This is honest truth.
Are you one of those hunting peckers? I mean, sorry.
Yeah. I did. I flunked that class.
Yeah. So you're the guy that types with
I
your...
was a horrible student in high school.
Well, I don't find it hard to believe. But you're a guy that types with your index finger, right?
Just no, like, not...
Plunk.
No,
oh, do you?
I get a little
multi-finger action
going
there?
I do
there?
Get some multi-finger action going, absolutely.
Well, that's fantastic.
I can type about 20 words an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, if you use a sundial.
Very good, Dan. I am so proud of you. Tomorrow, folks, thanks for indulging us here as we follow the lead of our minds.
That's right. We love you guys. We really do. We want to see you enjoy Christ, to see the scriptures. Believe God. Believe him. Believe what he's written in the Word. Not us.
Not
believe
us.
Believe what he's written in the Word.
Don't believe
not
us.
Not the systematic theology books. Believe what he said in the Word, not the church fathers.
Amen.
That is the important key. And a lot of times the reason why things are complicated for people is because they're not Bible students. Think about that too.
That's right.
And put down the devotionals, read the scriptures.
And don't listen to the church mothers either. They were just as ignorant as the church fathers. Thank you very much.